Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's
go. Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
And that's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Last night was a dandy. 54-51 is your final. There's so much to get to after last night's show, after last night's game, rather, in this morning's show. We've been digging into it throughout the first 2 hours. We'll continue throughout this hour here on the program. Thoughts, comments, concerns, queries on last night's 54-51 victory by the Rams. Hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Also, it's a Trash Tuesday, so get your trashes in. I'll read those throughout this final hour of the show. Look, I don't think that last night is indicative of where the NFL is right now. I don't think that somehow last night was all the things we worry about the NFL becoming distilled down into a greatest show on grass from two teams in a shootout. And I'll tell you why. While the rules have certainly been bent to help out every quarterback and every wide receiver and every offense, because the NFL knows that scoring sells, sex sells, scoring sells, and fantasy points sell, you just can't do what happened last night with many other teams. I think the only two teams offensively as dangerous, as surgical as what we saw last night, these two and the Saints. Now, you swap the Saints in for either one of those two, yeah, you'll see it. And we saw it a couple of weeks ago with the Rams and the Saints. But those two coaches last night are the two best offensive play callers in the NFL in Reed and McVay. Apologies to Sean Payton, but Sean Payton doesn't look like that. And they are great. The Saints are great. But the offenses and the creativity and the go for broke and the aggression, last night was NFL offense on steroids, because Sean McVay and Andy Reid have perfected offensive play calling, multiplicity, trying to figure out where it's coming, duping the opponent. I mean, they have it all, and they have the weapons and the trigger men to make it happen. There just aren't a lot of Jared Goffs and Patrick Mahomes. Those two guys are going to be two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL for the next decade. So I don't believe that last night would happen with a lot of teams or is going to be the new future. I think it's the reality for those two teams, but not everyone. That's why I took it for what it was worth. I would have liked to see one or two more stops, because a team that scores 51 points and loses is a really weird reality in the NFL. But overall, I took it with a grain of salt last night. It was entertaining, kept us all up late, a lot of fireworks, but it is not the reality of the new NFL. Is that a Super Bowl preview? I'd like it to be. I'd like it to be. But obviously, both defenses have a long ways to go. I specifically think the Chiefs' defense has a lot of problems that are going to get exposed by a really good offense if and will and when they play one. Now, the Rams at least have guys like Aaron Donald, who is arguably the best defensive player in football. And last night, he made his impact felt. And last night, Marcus Peters comes up with the game-sealing interception. And last night, you see what a pass rush can be when you have Sue, and you have Fowler, and you have Donald. because they were in Mahomes' face quite a bit all night last night. And so for the fact that Mahomes to put up 51 with that pressure in his face is extraordinary. I think the Rams have less to worry about than the Chiefs. Kansas City also is able to get to Goff a number of times, and they were able to blow up a couple of plays in the backfield. But overall, there just wasn't enough resistance. Time and time again, the Rams got the football back and went down the field and did what they wanted to do. Now, I think the return of Eric Berry will help, and Chris Jones last night was a monster. But they're going to have to figure out a way to shore up those holes because they looked really soft defensively. I mean, incredibly soft. And when Mahomes has given you the lead late and you're on the road and your quarterback has scored 51 points, I know that the offense gave up 14 of their own and five turnovers kills you. But when your quarterback on the road gives you 51 points and a lead late, you've got to hold on to it. And Orlando Scandrick came within an eyelash of intercepting a Jared Goff pass that likely would have iced it. You've got to make a play there. You just have to. And last night, when the chips were down, last night, when the game was on the line, last night, when the Kansas City Chiefs had 51 points and a lead late fourth quarter, they needed one stop, just one. And at 51-47, the Rams go down the field in six plays and less than a minute. I mean, come on. Come on. Gerald Everett torches his corner, goes into the end zone from 40 yards out. Make him work for it. 75 yards. Six plays, less than a minute. You've got to get your quarterback a stop there. And again, there is plenty on that field that Mahomes needs to own. Held the ball too long in the Aaron Donald strip sacks. Hold on to the football if you're going to get sacked. Throwing into coverage, interception of the goal line, or interception rather at the line of scrimmage. Mahomes has got to be better in a big game like that, as great as he was. Five turnovers cannot happen. Three interceptions cannot happen. But the Chiefs defense had one stop to get out of there. One stop with 2:47 to play. And they let the Rams go the length of the field in six plays and less than a minute and gave up a 40-yarder for the win. I definitely worry about the Chiefs defense. I absolutely worry about the Chiefs defense against the Patriots, like we saw earlier in the season, against the Steelers. I absolutely worry about the Chiefs defense. I don't worry about Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. There are those of you that will worry about Reid and a young quarterback, Andy Reid's conservative play calling, Andy Reid and his weaknesses in the playoffs. I do not worry about this offense, not one bit. They will put up 35 points in the playoffs. You watch. They'll do it. They'll put up 31, 35, 38 points. I worry desperately about the Chiefs defense getting a stop, but it has to, against Roethlisberger or against Tom Brady when it matters most. Also, let's face it, last night's game helps out the Patriots in a big way. It brings the Chiefs a game closer to the Pats, and the Pats have the head-to-head advantage, the tiebreaker. The Patriots cannot and will not go to a Super Bowl if they don't have a bye. They never have. They never will. They need a home game at Gillette Stadium, and they need the bye. They're just not built well enough. They're not good enough to win three games in the AFC playoffs, two of them being on the road. Last night helped out the Pats. Also, if you are the LA Rams, you continue to put pressure on the Saints. Right now, I think the Saints are the better team. The Saints have beaten them head-to-head. Granted, that was at the Superdome. Who knows what would have happened in Los Angeles? But the Rams had to keep the pressure on the Saints because knowing they lost the head-to-head tiebreaker, the Rams losing last night may have essentially wrapped up the Saints getting home field advantage throughout the playoffs. I think New Orleans is the best team in football. I'd put the Rams at 2. I'd put the Chiefs at 3. I'd put the Steelers at 4 right now. Yeah, I said it, the Steelers at 4. But the Rams have to keep the pressure on the Saints. Because I don't believe the Rams can go down there and win. I think the Saints would do it to them again at the Superdome in an NFC Championship game. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. I'll also say that if that is a Super Bowl preview, wonderful. I'd love to see that game again, as crazy, as kooky, as weird as it was. But that if you are a Rams or a Chiefs fan, man, you're lucky. That's going to be a great 10 years. I just don't see how those two quarterbacks don't make every game fascinating. And really, Mahomes is otherworldly. I think Goff is perfect for that system. And Goff has that cool-headed demeanor, which is perfect. But those two guys are just amazing to watch. Absolutely amazing to watch. It's a Trash Tuesday this morning on the show, so take out your trashes. Fernando tweets, "I'm trashing NFL defensive backs who don't turn around to make an interception." A lot of that last night, especially in the Chiefs. The officiating was bad, but too many times Chiefs defensive backs did not look back for the ball. Matt tweets, "I'm trashing Mike and Abilene, who trashed the Browns for announcing they're hiring Condoleezza Rice." They're not announcing that. They didn't hire her. This jabroni hears some dumb internet rumor and instantly takes it for a fact. What a bozo. D'Alien on D'Alien crime. I don't think Mike and Abilene was suggesting they were actually going to hire her, or that they were hiring her. I think it was just the idea of it. Senor Pantleg tweets, "We need to trash those hokey Monday Night Football cartoon graphics showing Patrick Mahomes behind a private investigator desk." Look, I take no great pride in having to criticize the Monday Night crew and the broadcast, because there are some things they do really well. I mean, some of the throwback film that they had going back to the last Monday Night Football game of the Coliseum, which, by the way, still blows my mind how the last Monday Night Football game of the Coliseum was a Raider game in 85. I mean, the Raiders stayed there until 94. You're telling me that there was no Raider home game on Monday Night Football from 86 through 94? That seems impossible. But I love that. They had a couple of great pylon cam views last night. They definitely work hard on the graphics department. It's very hokey, though. What was the one where, like, it was supposed to be Andy Reid, I guess, climbing up that window washer panel, elevating
terrible.
Where they were drafting Pat Mahomes at the top of the round?
Number one, they had him taking Mahomes, like they said, 10th, but the graphics showed him at like number
at the top,
one.
Yeah.
Number two, the guy looked nothing like Andy Reid. They took a random guy and put khaki pants and a mustache on him.
Yikes. Pete tweets, "Jason Witten is horrible. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'd rather have Chris Berman back. Justin tweets, "I'm trashing the Chargers. They can't fill a soccer stadium. The Rams fit 90,000. I'm trashing Dean Spanos again. The Chargers are San Diego's team. I'm upset all over again. 16 away games." That really is amazing, because the Chargers could be a sneaky good team of the AFC playoffs, and yet if they had a home game in the postseason, it would absolutely be a road game. They have not really played a real home game. Brian tweets, "I'm trashing NFL defensive coordinators. We hear offenses are creative and different now. Then talking heads say that teams like the Steelers show different looks and confuse offenses. Shouldn't we copy that now? Defenses need to evolve like the rest of the league. Happy Thanksgiving." Nathan tweets, "Mraz as Woody Allen is my favorite thing ever. Hashtag Trash Tuesday." Stick around for the epic fail of the morning. What a rousing Trash Tuesday that was. Tweets, "I'm trashing coworkers who celebrate Thursday like it's Friday. It's not. I know it's close, but it still isn't the real thing. Hashtag get a moot." Robert in Boise tweets, I'm on my way to pick up a passenger, but I need to use the restroom. Oh, well, times are tough. Bogish told us a story on Trash Tuesday that I'm still scarred by. That a guy on his train smelled like he had had an accident in his pants multiple times over, number one. And then when people moved away from the smelly guy, he got up and lectured them saying, hey, times are tough. Yet he was just scrolling through an iPhone. Imagine using that as your excuse. Sorry, I might smell like I went to the bathroom all over myself, but times are tough.
Does he play darts?
When we come back, sound check your best audio of the day, including a new sound clip of Gio impersonating me. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Me, can you believe it, my friend? Thank you so much for getting me uninvited to this crap.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
23 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We will be taping a brand new PGP, the Permission Granted podcast, following the show. So download it on iTunes, search Permission Granted. Also, it'll be available on our website, daoncbs.com. Eric tweets, DA just got back from a trip to Japan. Over there, they have those BK-style pancakes with a twist. The butter and syrup is stuffed inside the pancake like a sort of pancake hot pocket. Very delicious, no mess.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself,
Wow. Butter syrup stuffed inside the BK pancake in Japan. I think I could get down with that, Mraz.
Isn't that what a McGriddle is at McDonald's, though?
Well, isn't that more like it's...
I know it's a sandwich, but the actual basis, isn't that the butter and the syrup is injected into the pancake, or as you would call it, a flapjack, and then rolled with the eggs and sausage? It just kind of feels like that's one step behind here.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. This sounds like it's a hot pocket, less that it's injected with it.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. So you bite in, and then you're just biting into oozing butter and syrup?
Correct.
Instead of just little pockets of it.
Correct.
Is that so?
I don't know about that. It might be a little too much.
Chris tweets, I want to trash the people in the parking lot that park so close to you can't get your child's car seat out. Hashtag dad bod. Hashtag slipped disc. Hashtag get in the car seat out from the tailgate.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
Get him out.
Nathan tweets, wow, what a surprise. Mraz hates an event that requires you to have friends. Hashtag Trash Tuesday. Hashtag get him out.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Get him out.
Mraz trashed Friendsgiving.
Yeah, it doesn't require you to have friends. It's a desperate attempt to keep friends if you need a Friendsgiving. Should see them anyway. When you need to throw another turkey in the pot for
you it. Just don't like the term. You don't mind somebody cooking dinner for you, especially if it's your friends.
Yes, but the term Friendsgiving is so stupid. It's amazing how everybody stayed in contact in the 80s and were all friends, but they didn't need a Friendsgiving, right? Isn't that amazing? Didn't even have the Facebook either, but everybody was tight. Now we need Friendsgiving to keep everybody tight in November. Take a lap.
This is stupid!
Let's get to your best audio of the day. It is time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
People have been criticizing Lamar Jackson's throwing ability since he came out of Louisville. John Harbaugh defending his quarterback.
Yeah, we're going to throw the ball more down the road. He's a great thrower. The guy can pass. You saw him throw. He threw some great balls out there. How many plays did the kid make? Running around, throwing the ball, in the pocket, throwing the ball. He can do it, all right? So all this veiled stuff, is he really a thrower? I got news for you. He's a thrower. The kid can throw. He's a quarterback, all right? He's a quarterback. So all these little veiled questions, and for the me, if anybody's out there, oh, I can't believe Harbs is getting so terrible. I don't appreciate the insinuation of the question. We will continue to say it. Lamar Jackson is a quarterback, all right? Did you see the game yesterday? He's a quarterback. Any more questions about that? All right.
I appreciate that defense of his quarterback. What's Harbaugh supposed to say there? Yeah, you know what? He's kind of stinks throwing the football. He's really got good legs. Very mobile, exciting, but he's not good as a passer. I like that defense of Lamar Jackson. And look, Lamar Jackson only has to be that Lamar Jackson right now. He can use his legs until he develops his arm. You're not going to always be a scrambling quarterback. You'll take a lot of shots. You'll get limited. But right now, use whatever works. And Lamar Jackson ran 27 different times on Sunday for 117 yards. He threw for another 150. That's okay. Let him just be him. There's this idea in the NFL that you can only win a certain way. You can only have a pocket passer. This guy's got to do this. That guy's got to do that. However you win, get the W. And they got the W using Lamar Jackson's legs. That'll be fine. Defend your guy. I'm a John Harbaugh guy. Arkansas head coach Chad Morris asked about two of his players flirting with the Mississippi State cheerleaders last week during warmups.
We have some of your defensive starters before the game come back out of the locker room and try to exchange information with the opposing team's cheerleaders. How does that get addressed in the locker room?
Well, you know, it's, again, completely unacceptable in all areas of this program.
Because you might remember there was this one time the head coach was exchanging numbers in the athletic department and then ended up bedding her and then ended up having her on the back of a motorcycle and then ended up getting into a crash and lying about it and having to do a whole press conference in a neck brace. There was that whole thing at Arkansas as well. So let's nip this in the bud. Guys, do as I say, not what Bobby Petrino did. By the way, you've got to give these hogs some credit here. Because during warm-ups of a lost season, they're like, hey, that Mississippi State cheerleader looks good. I'm in. Let's go try to get numbers. Now, here's what's interesting. Have you ever tried to get a number in 2018 and not use your phone? You have to have your phone to write it down, to put it somewhere, because you'll never remember a phone number ever again. You know, back in the day before cell phone numbers, we had to remember all types of phone numbers. Now, if a girl gives you her phone number, there's no way you'll remember it, but you have to have it actually literally hand them the phone and say, okay, type it in. Type this in right now to my phone with your name because I'll never remember it. These guys didn't have cell phones during practice or during warm-up on the sidelines, so how are they even trying to get phone numbers? Are they actually going pen and pad? Which I would love. Were they finding a pen and a pad? Finally, Gio from Boomer and Gio on WFAN, apparently doing another DA impersonation. These have only gotten better and better as he has honed his skill. We all know that I am wildly annoyed by Jason Witten when it comes to the Monday Night Football broadcast.
So naturally, Witten opines about the great runner Gurley. Yeah, the 1 yard loss.
Poor guy.
I mean, it's horrible. Even Damon Amendola.
Oh, dude. Oh, this guy sucks a big one.
it's not what he wrote.
If he came up to the mothership, I would beam him back down. He's not allowed on my intergalactic funk sports talk spaceship. He's not allowed up here.
Intergalactic funk?
Yes, that's right. Funkadelic. Get off the ship, sir. You suck. Not allowed in here.
He actually wrote, not that. He wrote, drink every time Witten says he'd like to have that one back.
Did you notice how many times Jason Witten said, boy, he'd love to have that throwback. Jared Goff would really like to have that throwback. Patrick Mahomes would like to have that decision back. Andy Reid would like to have that play call back. Tyreek Hill would like to have that punt return back. How many times can you say it? Gio's impersonation is excellent. That guy sucks a big one. Beam him down from the mothership. An intergalactic funk party. And that is your sound check this morning. Trash Tuesday, Ross tweets, I'm trashing defense in that game last night. 105 points combined. Two INTs sealed the game for the Rams, though.
Beep, beep.
sanitation just arrived.
B-Dub in Kansas City tweets, I'm trashing the NFL's quote-unquote all-star officiating crew from last night. What an epic disaster.
Let's face it, that's straight trash.
Kevin tweets, I'm trashing Mraz. Canadian bacon is sliced ham.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Puffiness with sodium.
Yeah, I don't know what you like about Canadian bacon.
I just think it goes well with an egg. You know, if I'm just eating bacon on a stick, like at a ballpark, sure, I'll take American bacon.
How often are you eating bacon on a stick?
I have, but I mean, you could pick up a slice of bacon and pop it in your mouth and crunch it, right?
Uh-huh.
But if you're packaging the perfect egg sandwich, sando, whatever you want to call it,
uh-huh,
and there's an egg and a cheese melted and you're looking for the bacon underneath, that round, circular bacon, if crispy and done right, is the perfect match, you know, and you're not missing
any. But it's really ham.
It's not really ham.
It's really ham.
It tastes
ham.
A little different. You can say bacon's really ham. It's all pig.
No, bacon's
everything's
not
oinkin'.
Really ham. Okay.
Kielbasa's ham.
Pulled pork isn't ham.
Technically it is.
No.
It's all pig, D.A.
Well, it's all pork. Yes, it's not all ham.
But ham and Canadian bacon are different. They're different parts of the pig.
Now, look, if you want to talk about building the perfect breakfast sandwich, engineering the perfect breakfast sandwich, okay, I might give it to you because then it's like an English muffin or a roll. The circular,
bacon
cylindrical
leaves too many empty spaces.
Meat.
Yes.
Then you put the egg on top. Fine. But you can't say it's tastier or better. It might be more efficient as a breakfast sandwich meat.
But for me,
that's as far as I can go.
For me, and you know this from the Football Foods of the Week, I use bacon all over the map.
Yes.
But my number one use for bacon is on an egg sandwich. And if that's my number one use, I have to go with the preferable bacon on my number one use for bacon.
Chubbo.
But again, it has to be crispy. If it's floppy, you're right, it does taste like ham.
No,
Canadian bacon will crisp. Ham will not. Let that be a lesson to your forefathers.
You were fat. So my dead grandfather.
Yes, that should be a lesson.
Knows how to make his breakfast.
That
now.
Should be a lesson to your great grandfather,
okay,
who's been dead for 50 years. Let that
R.I.P.
be a lesson to
yes.
him. Okay, let that be a lesson to Ebenezer Bogish. Horace Marash should remember.
Let that be a lesson to your forefathers.
All right, three finger Bilotti from the 1860s. Just remember.
Be four finger, to be honest.
Four finger Bilotti complaining on the deli line back in 1860.
Just wants to roll.
Man.
Why can't these guys get their gruel and move out of the way?
What is all this? Is this Canadian bacon?
This Pony Express is so slow and during the holidays. Is the Battle of Gettysburg over yet? They've been fighting forever.
What are you doing?
Somebody win already.
Wrap it up. So are we a free state or not? Somebody make a decision.
Hard.
You know what? The streak continues, though, of regular Pete not being funny, but mechanical Pete through the board funny with drops, and is Woody Allen funny.
That's like Cal Ripken, regular Pete not being funny.
When we come back here on the show, we've got your cut line, the story that did not make the cut, including a devastating fart dart scandal. DA.
A lesson for your forefathers. This last segment was a little dumb, so we're going to smart things up with farting with darts.
That's okay. Cocky Pop. The greatest regular season football game ever played last night. This is our show rundown.
Finishing strong with farting.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
now get zapped while the sun is out.
We all had to take health and gym.
Remember when you
not
said...
Not Choir. Not Adele. Josh Groban, not Adele.
You said that's for Vegas knockoffs. This whole thing started because you're a Vegas knockoff lounge karaoke
singer. I am the adult contemporary Huge Freeze. Stop.
DA on CBS Sports
44
Radio.
44 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A happy Tuesday to you. Follow me on Instagram to get behind the scenes of the DA show by following my Instagram stories. Just follow the IG handle at Damon Amendo and check it all out at Damon Amendo. More trashes. I'm trashing grown men walking around the mall, Dixie Landan writes. When they walk around in pajamas on Saturday, premature Christmas decorations. And the woman who asks this lady at Belk, when is your Black Friday sale? Put on some clothes. Find some common sense and stop overlooking Thanksgiving. Hashtag get them out.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Get them out.
When is your Black Friday sale? Fantastic. James tweets, good morning, DA. I love the Christmas holiday season, but Christmas holiday music blaring in stores on the radio before Thanksgiving? Nah. Hashtag done for the day. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
Splash Brothers. More like the Trash Brothers.
Casey tweets, I'm trashing my boss for wanting me to come into work early so she could go into work late. Yeah, sure, lady. Hashtag get him out.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Haley tweets, I'm trashing both defenses for not even leaving their hotel rooms last night. Hashtag get them out.
Stinky debris.
Matt in Framingham tweets, I'm trashing people who invent their own parking spaces this time of year. Nothing like an SUV taking up two handicapped spots without a sticker while standing outside to smoke a joint after being inside Walmart for 3 hours.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Iceman tweets, I'm trash of the guy who cut me off on the way to work and ended up at the same red light as me 3 seconds later. Hashtag get up earlier, buddy. That's from Roosevelt in Beaumont.
Let's face it, that's straight trash.
Reed Phillips tweets, I'm trashing the NFL's super crew that was assembled for Monday Night Football. That was an abomination. Each one of those refs, get them out.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Get them out.
Get them out.
Yesterday, we teased a story that was of very dire consequences. And in the sports world, we can laugh and get excited about Patrick Mahomes and football touchdowns and baseball home runs, coaches getting fired, silly hires. That's all obviously fun and games. But then there are a few stories that make you realize, no, this is what the essence of sports is all about. This is what we should really, truly be focused on. And that happened this weekend in the Grand Slam of Darts. There was a Scottish dart player by the name of Gary Anderson, who ended up defeating Dutchman Wesley Harms. Moving on to the quarterfinals of the Grand Slam of Darts. Obviously, this is a pretty big deal. We don't talk a lot about darts on the CBS Sports Radio Network or sports culture at large, but if you've ever been at a bar, had a little beer or two, and threw your darts, you know how competitive it can get. Well, after Harms was defeated, eliminated from the Grand Slam of Darts, he did a post-match interview. And during this post-match interview, Harms, Wesley Harms, claimed he wasn't able to play to the best of his abilities, that there was extenuating circumstances. There was a, quote, terrible, fragrant smell that he believes was left behind by Gary Anderson, the champion.
I spoke to Wesley, and besides that, he said you were a class player, and you let him alive in the first session. He said that it was smelly on the stage.
I thought Wesley had farted on stage. Yeah. Did he?
No. Well, I think he thinks you did it.
You can put your finger up, Lars, there'll be no smell there. I thought he had and I went, that's dirty. It was bad.
It was bad?
It was bad. Yeah. It was a stink. I thought it was him. And he started playing better. I went, must have needed to get someone out.
Yeah. And he thought it was you.
Oh, no. Hands up. Swear on my kid's life. So help me God. Nothing crossed.
But it was smelly anyway.
It was smelly. Usually if I fart and stay and you know that, because I've told you in a documentary, ain't scared to... If I'd farted it smelled like that, I'd put my hands up and go, oh, sorry, I need to get off.
So who was it then?
Well, don't tell me. You've got another three boys up there. So... No, it definitely came... It was table side. And it was. It was eggs. Rotten eggs.
Not from you?
Not from me. No.
Okay, thank you.
And every time we walked past, it was a waft of rotten eggs. So that's why I was thinking it was him.
What was bleeped out there was him discussing that it smelled like somebody had bleeped themselves. In other words, they'd messed up their own pants. So what we have here is a pretty significant violation of sportsmanship code. And in something as huge as the Grand Prix of Darts, I think this should be looked at very, very closely. You know, if I'm the FBI of wherever the Grand Prix of Darts was, whatever that Federal Investigation Bureau is in either Holland or wherever this was, I'm looking into it. Forget looking into NCAA violations. Forget anything else in sports. PED use, concussion. This is a potential, let's call it what it is, a sports crime that could end up defining a generation of fans. Because once we allow somebody to pass gas in a closed area where a high-level stakes competition is going on, we have lost our way as a sports culture. This needs to be about an even playing field. And if you are laying rotten eggs, that should be an immediate disqualification. That's not on the up and up. We all know how devastating, how debilitating that can be. Walking into a closed area as somebody's trying to concentrate and ripping a big one needs to be handled with a heavy hand. The moment we let these cheaters get off the hook and make it okay is the moment the next generation of high-end athletic competition goes down the drain. We've sacrificed it all. If you are walking by an opponent in a closed area, indoors, by the way, and you rip a big one, you immediately need to be... Get him out!
Get him out.
We'll stay on this story. Let's get to your epic fail. Mraz, Trash Tuesday, Woody Allen. Hopefully it'll make sense.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Oh, let's go to brunch. Let's have mimosas. It's 3 in the afternoon. You're just drinking at 3 in the afternoon. It's not brunch because you put splash some orange juice and some champagne. The same thing. If I see one more Instagram Friendsgiving pic, enough. You had dinner in November with friends.
Why are you starting to sound like Woody Allen? Stop. You're just eating dinner with friends.
I feel that life is divided up into the horrible and the miserable.
You had dinner in November with friends.
Into the horrible and the miserable.
Because these things have bothered me enough.
I can't deal with Thanksgiving.
Can't do it anymore.
Had it.
Never had it with all these guys. Stop doing your Friendsgiving.
Just dinner.
Just dinner.
It's enough.
Turning into an aspirin junkie. Next thing you know, I'll be boiling the cotton at the top of the bottle to get the extra.
Mraz, that's Woody Allen.
You know what the palace is? That's 24 living rooms and a dungeon.
Just when you thought Woody Allen couldn't get creepier looking.
Come on.
Instead, Sean.
It's Cocky Pops. Last night, it was all over the Monday Night broadcast. Yeah. It was like every third commercial was the BK pancakes.
We've got 45 minutes to eat them for breakfast, so let's hurry up and find them.
Wow.
Three of them for 89 cents.
That's a good deal.
That's like 30-some-odd cents?
They're
not even.
They're probably original, right? They're not sprinkling any chocolate chips in there, are they?
No, no, no. They're just flat. They're just same, even Steven flapjacks, but they look delicious, and they're only...
Flapjacks? What are you, 74 years old?
And they're flapjacks to me, okay?
I look around the world, and all I see is human suffering.
I can't deal with flapjacks on Thanksgiving.
It's not brunch if you have flapjacks.
Well, that's essentially how I feel about life.
Who knew the one impersonation Pete could do is Woody Allen?
It's good. I think it's because it sounds like our bosses.
It does.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
And our toll-free line is always brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. So many good trashes I'll get to in the PGP. So download that. We'll be taping it after the show today, the Permission Granted podcast. Thanks to everybody for some wonderful trashes throughout today's Tuesday show. We're back at it tomorrow. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. And thanks to Andrew Kaplan on your simulcast at watchda.com. Tomorrow's a special pre-Thanksgiving episode of The Dob. We'll be taste testing because that's what we do. And the Battle of the Bulge. I'm DA. The Mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.